Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation. And now, let me introduce our presenter for today, Sean Nunup. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So I'm going to introduce you just briefly and say what your presentation today is going to be about. So Sean Nunup is a human being, an Indigenous man, and a father. His purpose in life is to connect people through his stories. If you have sat through A Welcome to Country by Sean, you will know how connected he is. He's connected to the ancestors. He knows their stories. He knows what must be done. He is a leader of reconciliation. And today, he's bringing to us a session called Cultural Emotion Through Body, Mind, Heart, and Soul. He will lead a taster session of his work from the connection of your origin to a senses connection exercise and will lead all of us through story to approach our true self and purpose. And I won't say anything else. I'm just going to hand the stage, the floor over to you, Sean, and we're going to enjoy your session. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here and to be a part of your journey in life. As you may be aware, we have a time limit and we often don't want to look at the possibility of having a time limit. And sometimes we believe we have some sense of control over what that time limit is and how we can, you know, utilize our daily life to enrich us to be able to be sustainable in any possible way to enjoy every moment. And for me today, being struggling in this first or middle part of my life to understand where and how I would place myself in my society, being in part of the community here in Australia and Western Australia in Perth, I came here a little bit later in my life and I started my journey with my parents, obviously, out on country. And we're in a place called Three Springs. It was a very small little town about 3 hours above us from Perth, maybe 3.5 if you travel a little bit faster. We were pretty much a town where there was a lot of separation in our cultures. People were very clear about where you felt comfortable and where you didn't. But as a little boy, as I grew up, and I believe every children just want to be connected and have fun and enjoy every moment. And I gather that's where the teachings of our children are ever present, reminding us of, that we all can get along in a playground and at the ages of 6 and 3 or 4. It's about being a part of something. And so finding my place there wasn't too hard. My brothers and my older families, they were very much a great forge of unity in my life before me. And so I found it a little bit easier to connect. And as I started to venture from this country town, I then made my way up into Perth, which is what they call a city, but I would have to say when you've gone to other major cities in the world, we're still, you know, I think we should be still waiting for horse and cart to go past our window, because we're nothing compared to, you know, America, Las Vegas or China or Thailand. It's just our city is very soft, I believe. But for some, it's quite chaotic. So I came to Perth, and living here, it opened my life to a very multicultural world and a way of being. And so I had to be quite diverse in my ways of interaction. And I was I felt like I was behind the eight ball before I even started to live a life here in Perth, because my life was revolved around an open backyard in the country. I was always fishing and hunting and gathering, and we were home at sundown. If we weren't at home at sundown, then the parents would just yell out the back of the house, "Get your butt home." And all the parents and all the families and all the friends would all just start scattering and running home, because we went too far from the ear distance from our family. Whereas in the city, it's different. We had such a huge amount of people coming in and out of our life, and it was all these restrictions about where we could go and what we could do. So I started to realise that I had to be as diverse as I could in each subtle change in my environment, and some were quite deep. So as I started to understand my community in both areas that I started to live in, one was along the coast. It was quite a beautiful place. It's called Scarborough, Double View. And there I was a surfer. I became a skeg. And we do that. It's like a circle with fins. It's really good fun. And I lived like that for about a year and a half. And then I then moved to a place called Balga, Girrawing, and Dulba. And if you know of Perth, and I gather most of you are part of different parts of the world, that area there was a very heavily Aboriginal community. And there was all multicultural groups coming in from all different parts of the world. There had been wars and events that were happening. So we had an influx of, the Serbians, and we had an influx of the Africans, and we had all different parts of the world. At different times through the issues that were happening in the world, we would have people who couldn't speak English, people who were carrying a certain clothing that represented a certain community over the outside of the world, that if you wore a blue or green or if they had a different tag on it, then certain families couldn't speak to each other. It was really, really quite fresh, some of the issues that were happening in the world, but were coming straight into Balga. So we had a lot of different multi-families, but the Aboriginal people outnumbered pretty much it all. We were pretty big. And when I moved there, I realised that I then had a huge family. And there I had to then again readjust my way of connection. And something inside me was telling me that I had something special, or something that I was unique to me. And when you work in a realm of allowing energy to flow, we often find ourselves putting somewhat of a block between the energy flowing as we start to build a relationship with ourselves. So if you look at a child at the age of 3 or 4, they're flowing, they're moving, and they're allowing themselves to be in prison. If they don't like something, they'll let you know. If they do like something, they'll let you know. And the beauty of a young child at the age of 2 to 3 is that if you were to take a lolly away from them, they'll let you know that they're not happy. And if you give it back to them, once again, they'll also let you know that they're very happy about that. And they'll run around, I got the lolly, yay. And sometimes they drop the lolly. And because they're there, you can scream for it. For us, we believe there's value in it. And that when they drop the lolly, we say, wait on, don't forget what you just did earlier. You really screamed and made a scene to have this lolly. So you better eat the lolly. You wipe it, take it to the tap, give it a wash, and you're going to eat it. And so we believe the value in that lolly because we had such a drive for it as a young child, then we should honor that. But for a child, it's like, well, it's just a lolly. When I eat it now, I don't. And they let it go. And so through this process of growing, somehow our body starts to absorb teachings naturally. And we're such an amazing being that we absorb millions of information per second. And this great universe said, well, I'll humble you. And I'll let you connect to this only in very small doses. And some of it you'll have to discover in your own time and in your own life. And you'll get excited. You'll feel a little bit sad that some things didn't come so quickly. You know, the teachings of our parents. I don't know if any of you older guys or women here, but I'm only 22. I've still got a lot of lessons to learn, and I'm joking. I tried my best to remind myself that I'm still young at heart in some way, shape or form. But when we hear lessons from our teachers, our parents, we often hold on to it without even realizing, and we start acting it and getting into the flow of it as we get older. And people will generally say, gee, you're just like your dad, or you're just like your mother. And we sit there and go, oh, no, sure. Well, actually, no, you do. Because we're just naturally absorbing and naturally allowing things to flow inside us, that we must let go of things that we know don't serve us anymore. And we can do this consciously and subconsciously. And so when I was at this state of my life of transitioning from country to city to a place where there was just huge dynamical shifts of language and cultures and people, I struggled. Because the first identity that everyone put onto me, or the label that I was supposed to learn when I was younger, was that I was Aboriginal and I understood Aboriginal ways. And if there was anything about Aboriginal people that had a problem, they'd come to me or to some of my family. And we're supposed to have this idea about how to live and hunt and gather and carry the old ancient wisdom of thousands and thousands of years. And I looked at them and said, I'm just living this life that I was born in, mate, and I'm doing my best to appreciate that I need to get a job and I have to study and then go to university and then I can provide for my family if I have them, or just be able to buy my car or food or water. So my life was about living the mainstream lifestyle.
Sean, I'm super sorry to interrupt. This is Anke. So we seem to have some technical issues here. People are writing that it's super hard to follow your voice because there's some interference, and I can hear that too. And okay. Sometimes it seems like there's voices in the background as well. So what about, would you like to try with the first microphone that you had? And then I know maybe it's not comfortable, but if you keep it with your fingers in front of your mouth, that might work better.
Sounds good.
You still have one other hand to speak with. Let's try that.
Okay. How's that? Is that better? One, two, three.
It's four, still there five, somehow. Wow. It's like sometimes in the background, it sounds like there's like the train running through from afar.
Oh my God. Okay. Really? I'm trying to think of what that could be.
I'm not sure that we can sort out the background noise right now, but then at least if you can kind of just speak up and...
A little bit more there. How's that sound? Yeah.
I'm not sure that we're on the right microphone. Could we just briefly check that?
One, two, three.
Could you, in your Zoom, like in the window when you mouse over at the bottom left, where there's this microphone icon,
yes,
you tip on this little arrow and there you can select the input sound, and if you select your headphones, it should make it better. Sorry everybody for the interruption, but it would just be such a pity to
we are getting the comments that it's better.
So now the sound is off and now we need your voice. Can you say something again?
Next speaker, for some reason, one, two, can you test microphone?
I can hear you, but it's still this background rumble. Yeah. Can you say something again?
One, two, three, four.
I'm not sure we're going to sort out completely. So as long as you speak up like you've just did.
Yeah, okay. How's that sound? Is that better?
Yes.
That's better.
Thank you, Sean.
Okay, here we go. All right, so we So growing up and trying to absorb and understand what it was like to be able to connect to Aboriginal culture that I had no connection with really at all. It was just about, we need to focus about going forward and not dealing with what's happened in the past. Because bringing that to the forward, there was so much that was absorbed by our grannies that was very tough. And for some reason, a lot of our family didn't let go of that energy, and they carry it right now. And they pass it on from generation to generation. And people will say, well, it's important to be strong and tough and know that the history lies with me and you don't have to carry it, but I'm going to give you something to keep you safe. And that is to stand up for your people and speak to those in the, look them in the eye and say, I am worthy of life and I'm worthy of being treated with respect. But at the same time, what is this healing? What is this, you know, 1905 Act, the stolen generation, the intake of this different part, way of living that now has shifted our Aboriginal way of being on this land? How is it that now I'm going to be able to forge a relationship with that? And so Rosalind Snyder came into my life, and I was helping in community, and I was talking to drug dealers, I was talking to really bad people, prisoners, and I was doing my best to help the youth, the juvenile youth of the city, and I, especially my local back area. And I worked with one, I worked with all. So I was working with all the different Arabic boys and the Lad boys and the Italians and Massos and you name it. I was lucky. People would say, oh, wow, that would just drive me crazy to think that I had to work and help out all these different cultures and different people. But coming to where I'm just giving you a little bit of a rundown of my history. And then when I speak about the old cultural way of being, connection, I'll revert back to this and then show you that really we're all one. And we have this belief that's instilled in us, in our brain, in our hearts, in our mind, in our soul, in our body, that we must carry labels that do not serve all or serve self. So you can call me Sean, that's not a problem. But if it separates me from you, then I don't want you to use it. If you call me Aboriginal and you say, well, they, them, or him, that they're people, then I don't want to use it. I want to speak to everybody in a way that our great old teachers spoke in this purest form. There is no other way I can talk of it. It has to be from a place where everything is one. And so this is where I'll do my best now in the short time that I have you. I spoke for about 10 or 12 minutes there, getting you to sort of see a little bit about what Aboriginal people are, because maybe right now you're Googling what's an Aboriginal person and where's Perth and where's Western Australia and what's Balgagira, Winkindoola, and these are, you know, I do my best now to just bring it in a little bit and not get too personal about certain areas that may be a completely foreign to you. So as I started to get into a healing process, so the young kids at the age of 2, 3 or 4, If you ask them the next day about the lolly and you pick, you say, excuse me, son, I'll go, yes. You know that lolly yesterday? Oh, you have a lolly? Where? No, the lolly yesterday. Yesterday? Lolly? You have a lolly? And where's the lolly? I want the lolly. No, stop. I'm trying to tell you what happened yesterday. It doesn't happen again today, that I'm going to give you something. And if I take it away, I don't want you to get yelling and screaming and slamming on the ground and chaos. But to them, it's gone. To them, they're like, I'm living in the present. It's you that remembers, you carry that. You're trying to protect yourself. Whereas the child will just go ahead and do what childs do. And in the community, if you're walking down the aisle and a young child is screaming for a lolly and stamping its feet or laying on the ground screaming, a lot of parents will go, oh, good luck with that. I know where you're at and I understand what's going on. And nobody really shuts it down too much. People might walk over and go, oh, can't you teach your child? But if it's a 2, 3-year-old, you say, this, it's natural for kids to express how they feel. And it goes exactly the same for happiness. And so we sometimes carry and hold on to and absorb things in our life beyond the ages of 4, 5, 10, 20, 30, 50. And we believe it's a process of learning. But we need to do three things in every possible way in our life, in our being. That is to acknowledge, express, and let go. You are the captain of your ship. You have the power, the graciousness, to truly acknowledge your greatness in your own right. And if your environment at the moment isn't praising you in a way that respects your spirit, your being, then it comes down to you to be able to look beyond what's in front of you, because that's what you have to do with yourself. You see me now, but I'm beyond what you see. I'm beyond these words. Culture has no language. People go, oh, it's got to have this, it's got to have that, because they think and they believe somewhere in their life that someone told them this, and they've absorbed it and they've held on to it. If you try to take away from them, deep inside they go, I'm having a tantrum right now, Sean, but you don't know that because I'm an older person. And if I have a tantrum right now and go, no, I don't want you to tell me I have to love myself. If I do that, people will start giving you, or you start doing that, then you're going to start, people are going to go, well, you need some medical help too. We need to get you in. You need to have another beer. You need to calm down. And somehow we self-medicate. We do things to try and suppress this energy. We see all the problems happening in life. Because why? Because our environments do not teach us to acknowledge our greatness in its purity. And so here's my gift for you, to give you a sense of the old way of our great teachers on this country. Watch out, Biblman country, where the language is flows with the river. And this river we call Derby Yerrigan. And our old people, when we go to Kora language, that's the old language. But when we go to the beautiful time of spirit country, where we call that Quinjung, when all the spirits, the Mundanak spirits, come from the darkness. When they came from the darkness, they heard the river speak to them. You see, in life we give you names. But in spirit country, you already have a name. You already have a rhythm. And it's with great honor to be in the presence of you, to be able to then serve it. And this happens all the way through your life in our cultural way of teaching. And that river we call Biblia. And when you go down to the river, you'll hear it go, Biblia, Biblia, Biblia. It slowly but breaks on the side of the banks of the river. Biblia. So you might hear a drop of water. We call it soft hitting a fern. So when that river flows, we sing to the river and we dance to it. We art song, dance language, story is our great way of connection. If you go over the hill to Balladong country, which is where Northern is, we have another language for this river. And this river goes like this, Gugulia. Gugulia, Gugulia, Biblia, Gugulia. There's a very subtle change there. And when old people or young people hear that subtle change, the question comes, oh, why did that change? Oh, because when we're traveling from one place to another, it naturally has to change with our environment. Did you not notice the tree change? Did you not notice the birds change? Did you not notice the stone in the ground change and the sand, the colour? No, Uncle, I didn't. So it's where the subtlety is the greatest power. But do people really know your subtle energies that make you so unique? Do people notice that? And there is another story before I go into this. There's a gentleman that went to a party with his partner. It's a partner's night. And she went there with him. And they both went together, obviously. And they had a competition. How well do you know your partner? And so this young man was asked the question. And when he was asked when she got it wrong, his wife came in the door, very, very angry from around the other room, hearing that he got it wrong, and said, you're out, finished, and we're over. And he rocked up at his father's house with bags packed, and he says, Dad, my wife left me with 3 kids and a mortgage and all the wonderful things because I got one question wrong. And the father said, okay, son, what's the question that you got wrong? What's the color of your partner's eye? We've been married for 25 years, Dad. And I got it wrong. And she left me based on a very simple, subtle thing. How dare she do that, Dad? After all these other wonderful, great things that I've achieved and I've done, how could she do this to me? I'm sure you know the father would have said, son, you've got a lot to learn, boy. Have I taught you anything? It's these moments where you remind people of their subtle greatness that we can get through the most hardest challenges in our life. And so here is again my granny's teaching. So when you're in your mummy's tummy, you're in this vastness and you're in water, baby. You had to let go of the tail. You're once a swimming, beautiful river inside a mother's tummy. And when you connected, and this is where the greatness of our teacher is, long before you were born, when you connected and two came together, you created a sense of growth and you had to change. And by changing, this is another process of life, it changes. This one wasn't so painful, but you're in this vastness and you think you're in a universe and you're floating. You have an umbilical cord that keeps you alive. All of a sudden, you start to grow. As soon as life is in you, there's a sense of growth now. And as you started to grow, you became restricted. And you struggled with this restriction and you kicked out. And any mothers? No mothers? Some mothers? Some are nodding, yep. I've only got a couple of people on my vision. And when the mother felt the first kick, do you remember the first kick? Can you describe a little bit of that in your own thoughts right now? Usually people are going, oh, it was a sunny day. It was at night time. Oh, I was laying on the couch. Oh, I was walking along the side of the road. Oh, I was near the beach. And then you can describe it because that moment, that kick, was very subtle but very powerful. There was a sense of joy. Now the baby that you carry is no longer a thought. It's real. It's physical. And you put your hand on, I'm sure, and then you ask others around, said, quickly, everybody, touch our baby's coming, to your partner or to whoever it is that's close by. Do you realize that you were a gift? Do you realize that when you kicked your mother, you said, hey, I'm coming, and everyone should be ready with joyful and celebration? And so that moment is marked in the ground as we travel the six seasons of our country, where the rhythm of the universe and the moon and the planet and all the wind and the coolness and the heat and the rivers of the fish and the blossoming of fruits in the desert. Well, not in the desert, I guess in the desert and in the forest. We followed it because there's always a gift there. And if you tune yourself to your environment, especially our great mother in the universe and the land, then you will be reaped the rewards of your graciousness of connecting to your mother. We mark that little spot with art, song, dance, and story. We then travel around a little bit further, and you come from spirit world to real world, we'll jump ahead. And we mark that with art, song, dance, and story. And then the baby comes from the tummy to the next universe now. And it's very painful for mum to let go of baby. And so straight away, through this growth, you're restricted and it's a bit painful to be inside there. You want to kick out and you want to leave. It's time for you to let me go, mother. Imagine the first teaching you're going to have about letting go, acknowledge, express, and let go. You have to let go of your great mother. If you can let go of your great mother, then it doesn't matter how many men or women are coming into your life, you can look at them and say, mate, I have to let go of my mum, man. And I'm still kicking. I think I'll be okay. So when you let go of your great mother, you come out into this great big universe. And if you see our Aboriginal people dancing on country, we dance like this. We We're reaching out to the left and we're reaching out to the right. We're reaching above and we're reaching below. And we're showing that we're a part of the great universe womb. And we dance and we kick the ground. And we kick and we kick. We're asking our great mother, Buddha. We call Buddha mother, the land that we stand on, because she's always there. We think she goes away, but she doesn't. And if you look at all families through our children's life, usually the mother is the ground. The father goes away to work. The father goes away to hunt and gather. The father can go away, but your mother, always solid. And I know in certain cultures and certain times of our life now, you can see how quickly I can say that. And some fathers or people will be saying, well, my mother was an impermanent, or my father. So there is this sort of tug of war effect that's happening in the world today when I say this. So when this little child comes out, the first thing it heard in its life was its mother's heartbeat. Ba-boom, shh, ba-boom, shh. And so imagine being in the womb of your mother. When we kick the ground and we get into a beat and you hear that boom, boom, when you hear that, your actual mind is vibrating and trying to align itself to that beat naturally, and actually releases pheromones that actually allow you to calm. It's a state of calmness. So if we get the music right and the beat right, we may not need words to heal. We just need to allow our energies to flow in a way that connects. And before you know it, because you're such an amazing being, you have a natural way to be able to allow yourself to heal internally. And so this mother gave you comfort by hearing that heartbeat and a natural process of connection. You also felt your mother. You then, when you came out from your mother, you had to absorb the air and you had to let go of water. So another painful moment of embracing the impact of oxygen filling your lungs. The greater the scream, the stronger the lungs. As soon as you screamed and echoed out your voice to the land or the family, they were celebrating, and the birds and the trees started to vibrate, because they are vibrating exactly the same as you are when you hear the beat. Boom, boom, boom. When our heartbeats as humans beat in a rhythm of unity and great love, the world celebrates with us naturally. Don't underestimate your greatness. Some people might be switching off right now in their mind, in their heart, because in order for us to teach, we must be body present. We now need to soften our mind. And in order to soften our mind, we need to get back to our breath. And in just doing that, it actually naturally allowed you to do the same. So with a beat, with the actions of beautiful breathing, it's very hard for the people around you not to do the same. If we want to create calm, we want to teach people naturally without actually forcing them to do it on a bus, on a train, right now. We can create calm and love where we soften purely by action. And when your mind softens, your heart softens, your blood starts to spread in a way that's really equal, and then your soul, your spirit comes with a softness. So you can imagine when there's chaos and you've just gone to the gym, you've worked out really, really hard, or you've had a really bad day at work and you're like, wow, man, that was a lot of energy. Not bad, but just a lot of energy. You come home and everyone's going to, we've got to do the lawns, we've got to do the gutters, we've got to clean this, and you've got to make sure you sweep the floor and all those things that we do when we get home, right? often we're so tired, we just go, whoa, give me a breather. I just need to have a moment, allow myself to relax, okay? And there we have this great, we don't jump into the chaos because our body's softened already. It's exerted so much energy that we need time to allow ourselves to just rest and absorb in a way that really recharges us. So when the child comes out of the chest and is screamed, it lends out this great big spirit word to the world and saying, I'm here now. Your child that's going to be able to care for you is now born. And all the trees go, thank you, thank you. All the fish go, thank you, thank you. Because we are the carers of this world. We have the ability to step in when things are unbalanced. What a great gift you are to your great mother. Your placenta is buried next to a very scented tree. And when you're feeling down, it's a great honor to rub that scented tree, peppermint tree or tea tree or something around. It connects us to our environment instantly. It can calm us. Once again, you hear the sound, you smell. And it's a matter of just calming the body with that beautiful sound. So we take you from your mother, we take you from your womb. We put you onto mum's chest. We wrap you now in a buka, which called a kangaroo coat or a possum skin, which represents the ephemerae being a cord inside your mum's tummy, and you start to calm again. After you've extruded so much air into your lungs, and the pain is starting to soften now, and you're starting to get comfortable with pain. How much pain do we carry, people? How much can you carry? And how much do you know you're absorbing without even batting an eyelid? Are you aware of how much you're able to absorb? So when we take you and put you on your chest, you straight away, you hear your mum's heartbeat again, and you relax it even double. You then feel the comfort, the warmth. You then smell your mother. It's important for children to be very close to the mothers after birth. So a lot of the nursing mothers in the hospital or other places, they'll carry the shirt of you. So that way then they can smell your scent. Don't underestimate how wonderful you are. The sight comes later. Oh, you must taste mum's milk then. And then the sight comes last. So when you're with our people on country, I believe anywhere in the world, the first thing people do when you stand on the top of the Himalayas or you stand down at the river and you put your feet in the water and you see the sunset, or you're amongst the forest, or you're standing out at the tip of a hill in the desert, the first thing our people will say, close your eyes, son. Close your eyes, God. What can you hear? What can you smell? What can you feel? And we go back through the process of your great beginning. How is it that you get this wrong in life? Why is it it's all about how you look? Everyone says, look how great I am. Look at this, look what I have. Look at the t-shirt, look at my car, I'm successful, yay. Why is it all about how you look? I believe the greatest teachers in the world, people will always say, that made me feel connected. I felt something about this person, and I'm prepared to go to the greatest depths because this person made me feel as though I was someone special, something important, or I have this beautiful feeling, not so much about the looks or the words. So once these senses are now in tune, so your first thing, body, mind, heart, soul, spirit is softened and connected. It then wants to absorb through the smell, taste, touch, hear, and see. Smell, taste, touch, hear, and see. Some people need to write this down. Some people need to record it because they forget that they have senses. And we go, well, what do I have? I think I've got a smelling. What was that third one? I think it's a seeing. Wicked. Oh, I forget the other ones. But anyway, you're hearing. That's right. And all of a sudden, it's amazing how all of our senses are somewhat not used. But we are using them. And so when one breaks down, if you become blind, your ears kick in. The smell kicks in. So don't underestimate how quickly your body and your mind and your heart will start to create a balance. Be careful of carrying too much pain and sadness because your body will start to create a way of holding onto it that is not healthy in the long term. It's the power is with you. It's not in anybody else. And it starts with very subtle movements of self-love, self-acknowledgement. I do not have all the answers for everything, but I'm on a journey of great discovery. And I appreciate every moment that I'm able to gain wisdom or a sense of safety or connection through love and peace. That is where I believe my great teachers lay. Don't underestimate you as one of those people. So we then take you from your mother, you scream and yell, and you're very upset about this. You want to be given back to your mother so you can feel connected again. So we then take you and put you in the ground. We cover you in ochre. Ochre is a very old spirit energy from our old people, and we wrap that all over you. For a lot of our children, we cover them in ash, all of them. Ash represents everything. Everything that's gone before us has been absorbed by the tree because it's in the earth. You're letting out carbon and your tree is saying, thank you. I'll give you some oxygen in return. But your DNA is going everywhere. And this is where it's hard for people to be able to understand spirituality or sense of enormous beyond what they see in front of them. Remember I said, try not to let just your vision be your greatest teacher. When we expose a breath outside in the flow of the universe, it will travel with the winds in 4 days to the other side of the world and will serve a plant on the other side of the world in 4 days. Your DNA is everywhere. How can you affect right now the environment that you're in and make the world a better place? Do not underestimate when you choose love and you choose self, it affects everything. Your energy will flow everywhere and it will never stop. Martin Luther King said amazing words. They echo in time forever. Why? Because we felt truth from him. We felt truth because he stood before the world and said, no matter what is going on and how hard it is to share love and unity, I will stand before you and say, someone needs to do it and we need to do it right now. And he chose in that moment to say, I fear no one because I've been to the other side. I've seen the promised land, and there you can't come back without a gift. So sure enough, we lay you in the ground in a gir. We call that a nest. A cup nest is a gir and a flat nest is a kneeling nest in our language. And when we lay you in the ground, we leave you and walk you away. Then you're screaming, yelling, hey, come back, pick me up, you mob. What are you doing leaving me behind? Obviously, you can't speak when you're a baby. But anyway, you're screaming out, pick me up. And then you relax because you start to feel the land again. You start to smell the land. You start to hear your mother. And then you know where your spirit comes from. And this relationship is paramount, that you're held by your mother's, your family. The heartbeat of your family is definitely always there with you most generally of your day life. But at night time, we lay you back in the ground and we leave you so you maintain. Don't forget where you're coming from. And so this relationship with your earth, your mother, starts way before we even begin. And somehow, some way, we've lost our way of reminding ourselves of where we have come from and how important it is to remember these great teachings, even though we weren't even conscious of it, but we absorbed it. And somehow we struggle with this, well, can you teach me who I am? Where instead of, can I show you who I am? And then great teachers will be able to identify and say, oh, here's a mirror. You just need to accept the truth, and this is your greatness. And I'll have a little story at the end to be able to help you. I know my time is getting by now. So imagine now, we mark that spot with art, song, dance, language, story. The tree, art, song, dance, language, story. I repeat it because if we repeat it more than 72 times or action, it becomes natural. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. I get a feeling you might have just said to yourself, I love myself. See how with great action we can overcome. And if you haven't said you love yourself in the last 24 hours, 72 times, you got some homework to do. I'm worthy. I have great value. And I stand for something. I stand for all. Very hard to say these things to yourself when it's not embedded in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, in every being. People ask the question, well, you say it, but I notice you haven't been doing it yourself. Oh, that's okay. I'm on the way. I'm on the journey of discovery. So we're traveling around now the countryside, and you're a little child running around 3, 2, 4 years old, whatever it is. And we come across the place where you kicked your mother, and we start singing you. And Zana comes running out, oh, dancing, spreading your hands out and going, look at me, I'm dancing. Woo! Why are you seeing me today? Zana says to everybody, well, this is where you kicked your mother, in your mother's womb. We celebrated. Your mother over there, right here underneath this tree, she was just so, so in love with you. She cried. Your grandmother, she was over there. You don't know her. But she turned and she said, oh. And I can remember the breath coming out of her mouth, going, wow, our baby, my granny, a part of us is continuing the journey of life. Your grandfather was over there. He's standing there now, but he was over there. Your auntie, she was there. Your sister was over there. Your cousin was there. You remember? Yes. Of course we remember. Wow. It's amazing that you remember me. Yeah, well, we dance you and sing you every time we come through here. We dance you before you even started dancing now. Then we come to the place where you go from the spirit world into real, from your tummy, mama's tummy to real. And we dance you and sing you there. And Heidi's coming out the front now. Ah, oh, Zara, it's my turn to dance. Ah, uh-huh, they dance me. Well, Zana, sorry. And Heidi's going, yeah, what you dance me for today? Why you paint me up? Oh, because this is where you came from spirit world to real. When we heard your voice, we cried. When you screamed, we screamed with you. You filled our hearts and our minds with great hope and passion. You taught us to get our story right. You told us to be strong inside so we can then make sure that the day when you couldn't walk, you can't talk, and we then serve you, my love. Thank you. Don't you remember? No, I don't remember. Don't you worry. We'll dance again and we'll sing you. This is where you laid you on the ground. This is where your placenta near the tree. This is where we dance you your first step, your tenth step. On your own, you walked unaided, strong on country. Right here. Whoa. This is where we dance you when your foot, your Jenna, touched the ocean and the river the first time. You may not have remembered, but we're going to remind you that it was a moment we all celebrated your life. To this day, we never change. Just like the bird when it sings for the sun in the morning. That's cool, buddy, the magpie. He always sings before the sun comes up. And in our old great story, he's the one who reminds us that the sun is coming. Wake up so that your eyes don't burn. And make sure you cover them and rest them before they are flashed with great power from the sun. So if that bird sings to that great big sun, then why wouldn't we sing you every day? If that's such a great gift, and the trees and the birds are our great teachers, because they have been here for billions of years, long before us, my love. They know how to survive this planet. They know all the gifts of our mother. They can be harsh, they can be loving. And if we get in tune with the great rhythm of these beautiful teachers, then we will have all that we ever wish for. So through this process of connection, it has no boundary. This teaching, I believe, is one that is forged in our great teachers all over the world. And it's one that really is graciousness, it's a great humbleness, it's a great moment to be able to say to yourself, I am in a position to absorb, I'm not here to control, I have no control over anything. I allow myself now to be in the presence of great teachers, even in the most harshest places that we could ever think would never have any teaching that they're doing. Because every time you walk into a place where there is no food, when you walk into a place where there's no shelter, when you walk into a place where there's no running water, you walk into any place where there is sadness and pain and anger and division, gangs, whatever you may call it, there will be a subtle person standing there and saying, I'm lucky to be here. And I've got something I believe will get us through this time. Please trust me. This gift is one that will see us through this time of drought. There will be a time whenever you may see that there's nothing but sadness and pain here. But trust me, I have something that is forged in all of us. And I'm just going to remind you, don't give up. I may not have the words, I may not be able to bring the water, but I'll stand before you and I'll stand beside you and I'll make sure that you know that you're not alone. And it's important from since you're a baby that as soon as they took you away from her, that you cried for her, you screamed for her. And our land is crying for us right now. Our mother is crying for you. Please, leaders of this country, please, leaders of all world countries, give back to your mother. Serve her. And I will say to you now, to all the people that are on here, 41 of you, Anne, Benjamin, Betty, Colin, Dee, Deborah, Emily, Farah, Jill, Helen, Anna, and the list goes on. Thank you so much for your presence to come online, to give me a sense of place in your life, to see some work or a gift. It's with great honor that today I know that I'm not alone. And that I know there's people out there with many gifts. And that's why we have this embodiment conference, because we want to show people that if we allow ourselves to connect with love and graciousness, then there is something of a gift there that really hopefully serves you in every possible way. It's not about control. It's about saying, do you see me? And if you see me, do you feel me? And the list goes on. So I hope this served you. I hope there is a sense of a presence there. I know that now we're down to our last 6 or 7 minutes, and I gather there's an opportunity for me to go to Zana and say, is there a question or two that maybe I can serve again?
I am doing a lousy facilitation here because I got taken away by your stories and I forgot about the time, forgot about the questions. I feel such hope and I feel such connection. So I'm going to the comments now and I can see gratitude is flowing, an honoring moment. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much, love. Sean, this was so beautiful. You filled my soul, warmed my heart. So a lot of gratitude in the air, a lot of warmth, a lot of flow. We have 5 more minutes. We got to do the logistics in 1 minute. So just continue with your comments. If you have any questions or anything that you would like to ask Sean, just feel free to pop that in a chat box or a Q&A. Or so powerful. Acknowledging participants weeping, I would have to say a word or two on the weeping bit myself.
So can I serve you with something? I gather our time will be short, and I'm a storyteller, as you can guess. Yeah, is it okay, Zana?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do we now bring this all together? And there is this little weaver bird. Does everyone know the weaver bird? It's in Africa. It weaves nests so elegantly. And it's an amazing little bird. Not many birds are able to do that, if not any, because that's one specific gift of this great bird. So sure enough, the scientists came along and they said, we need to figure out where's the breaking point of it's taking this bird away from this environment that allows them to do this. And how long is it going to take for no teachers to break the cycle? And so they put a number of these family birds into cages where they couldn't weave at all. It was a cages of cement and steel. And they fed them and kept them alive. Over the passings of generations, 10 generations had gone by. They took one bird out and put it into captivity where it could weave. This little bird weird instantly. It didn't think or hesitate. And the scientists went, well, we must wait another 10 generations with the other birds. So they went back to the other 10 generations and served them and kept them alive. 20 generations of no teachings of grannies. They took another one of these little birds and put it into captivity where it could weave instantly. They scratched their head and they thought, wow, goodness gracious, this bird maybe, surely, will start to not do this if they had no teachers. So they waited 30 generations of life. Obviously, it's not yet. 30 generations of life with this bird. 40, 50. The government came down and said, you know what, dear mum, we can't do this anymore. This bird is unbreakable. And we're not going to feed you any more money. And the scientist said, oh, come on, give us till 100, because surely after 100 generations of no teaching, there's no way this bird's going to keep doing this. And we'll then know that 100 generations is really a great boundary to know that we're not going to lose this bird if the world has no trees. Because sadly, we're preparing for no trees. That's the truth. So sure enough, they gave them more money and they got to 100, 110, and they gave up, finally. What does this say? And how does this relate to the story that I told you just now and our great teachers? Is that this beautiful weaver bird, let's change it to spirit. And if we create the right environment for the children or the family around us, this natural energy jumps out. And they go, oh, can I do that? Am I allowed to do this? Can I paint? Can I dance? Can I sing? Oh my goodness, am I allowed to do this weaving thing? Of course you can. But nobody else in the family is doing it. Why do I feel like I need to do this? Because it's your great gift. It is with great honor now to know what serves you, my baby, and we'll make sure this environment is strong so you can continue to teach us now all. We thought our culture was lost and gone, but when we create many environments for our children's children, then we can see that it's not lost. We as great teachers need to keep great environments available. And if it doesn't work, then we must shift and change and be dynamic enough to earn the patience to say, and our ego soften it. Not one teaches all. We must have the ability to adjust to our children and our families. You are not the great teacher. You are many teachers in your life. Soften your ego. No, we're on the journey of great teachers. In order to be a great teacher, you must be an extremely great student that can absorb information in a way that you know it's a gift. And then you would use it humbly. So if we go now back to that story of the bird, and that little bird is now weaving, and then another bird jumps out and goes, what are you doing? Oh, I don't know. I feel really strange, but I want to do this thing. I can't even have a word to it. Oh, my goodness. Somebody help me. I need a mental health plan. Anyone, a counselor? Someone help me to stop me doing this thing. And the other birds go, yes, you're making me very uncomfortable. Stop, please. Now I'm going to want to do this because I can feel like I need to do this as well. The other birds in the cage, they're saying to the other birds, see, told you confused yourself. I told you never look behind and turn around and see that the gate of this great cage that's supposed to be keeping us unable to move or fly was wide open. It's an illusion that this cage is closed or locked. They will completely tell you, do not turn around. Do not look any further than what we show you, because then you will create a sense of truth that we don't have the ability to serve you in a way that should be served. Our governments and our communities and our leaders need to wake up. You need to lead with humbleness. That's why Martin Luther King is a great leader. That's why Nelson Mandela is a great leader, because he, through action, understood to free your heart, your mind, you must love self. You must figure out a way to look beyond what we know does not serve all. Don't let those words be your guide, please. I beg you. see your greatness in everything and everyone. If you can't see it, then change your environment. And if you don't change the environment, then who will? You're waiting for someone to come along and shift the cage to a place where you can do it? No, don't wait. And so I hope the weaver bird in you has jumped out today and it serves you well and you get a relationship with it. And then what do you do with a great gift? You give it away. Give it away without hesitation. And well, world, it will be so much better. And we will appreciate you. And we will show that unity will overcome all in its greatest form of truth and justice that we are seeking in every possible moment in our life. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And may all the gods bless you and may you feel connected in your environment today as you do tomorrow and the day before. I hope that it serves you well. And much love to everybody. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for reminding us that we are the ones we've been waiting for.